You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
Okay, so we're going to be having Barefoot Sunday in a couple of weeks, and I want to just take a few minutes to talk about that. We have gotten several questions about what we're doing, what it's supposed to be. A couple of those questions, one of them is, why are we doing this again? Another one is, do we really have to take off our shoes in the middle of church? And the other one is, can't we just donate between now and then? Okay, these are great questions, and this is a great place to start. So what I thought I could do is just take a couple of minutes here and kind of talk a little bit about it. You already saw some of it on the announcement video. But what we want to do is we are looking for ways in which we can share in the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ and with the suffering of his people. We live in one of the most prosperous parts of the world. One of the most prosperous parts of the world. And for most of us, there are certain things that are a given in our life. Certain things. Comfort is one. It's a given for most of us. And shoes are another. Good, solid, sturdy, stable shoes are a given. Shoes for every occasion. You know, we have shoes all over the place. You know, shoes are a given to us. We have shoes for every occasion. We have shoes for dress up, dress down, exercise, yard work, hard work, shoes for the sand, shoes for the snow, shoes when it rains, shoes when it shines. We have shoes for going out, shoes for staying in, shoes for church. We have shoes for school. We even have shoes for any occasion at all, and we have shoes for no occasion in particular. Now, to most people in this day and age, shoes and oftentimes multiple shoes are a given. Now, to people in other areas, shoes are a commodity. And comfortable shoes are a luxury. Now, for our friends in Nicaragua, you saw some pictures. These kids, man, they walk 1 to 2 hours to school, some of them. Their parents walk even farther to work. You know, and shoes will not only keep them safe, and it'll help their feet not be so calloused, and it'll keep them healthy, but it will also be a comfort to them. Now, for our friends at downtown Dallas, we do it for Misión Para Cristo, and then our Main Street Church of Christ here in downtown. And these people, these homeless people, that's their primary target audience. These people, winter is coming. And shoes are valuable there. What I love is that, you know, when we do this, we're not only going to be providing these people in downtown Dallas what they need, we're going to be giving them something that will be a comfort to them. So as a staff, we meet most every week, and we talk about worship, we talk about the Sunday that happened and the Sunday that's coming, and what we wanted to do was facilitate an experience. We're not doing this because it's cool or because it's cute. You know, we're not doing this because, you know, we're trying to be hip or relevant. We're doing this because we want, just for a moment, to share in the sufferings of those who suffer, even if it is for 20 to 30 steps. That's it, 20 to 30 steps. But you know, this is about something bigger than this. You know, this is about a moment whenever we can allow God to show his generosity through the comfort of those who are comfortable. In Corinthians, Paul says this, if one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. So this is an opportunity to rejoice and to share in the sufferings of our fellow brothers and sisters. Now, my hope is that you're going to choose to participate. If you don't want to, you don't have to. It's okay. My hope is that you're going to choose to come. My hope is that you're going to choose to be here. Now, I know you, and I believe in you, and so I'm putting out a goal of 1,500 pair of shoes. I'm putting it out there. I think you guys can do more, but I'm putting out 1,500 pair of shoes. And what I'm excited about is that day, we're going to flip the world upside down. We're going to give instead of get. We're going to choose to go without instead of choosing to hold it all in. You know, we do it because we can. We do it because we're God's children, because we are heirs. And you know what? God can provide for us even if we let go of something. You know, we can afford to give it all away. So I'm making that offer. 1,500 pair of shoes. I think we can do it. I think we can do more. Now, I'm going to say this. There are people in this room who may need shoes. We're in a very affluent society, but there are some of us who may be too self-conscious to say, listen, I want to give, but I can't even afford a new pair of shoes for my own family. And I'm going to say, hey, on that day, that Sunday through that Tuesday, we're going to leave these shoes on this stage. We're going to leave them here. And if you need shoes for your family, if you cannot afford them, you need them from our family, you come and get them. Take them. It's okay. Same way with coats. We have a coat drive in November. If you need a coat, talk to Myra. Get a coat. This is God's generosity at work through this church family. And I'm very excited because this is going to be a moment when we are able to show the world how much we trust in God. Because it really is all about trust, isn't it? Do we trust that God's going to provide the needs for us? Do we trust that whatever we give, that God's going to help offset that? So last week we learned about faith. We learned that faith is something we have. Emunah, if you remember that word. And we learned that trust is something that you choose to do. It's something, betachan is the word. It's the last time I'll say it. But it's a fun word to say. It is a word that means you're choosing to trust. You're all in. You're relying on. It's not just a belief. It's a trust there. You know, used to, trust was something that we did often, especially when it came to deals we made. You could see someone buy a car on a handshake. You know, you could see deals be done just by shaking hands. We don't see that too often anymore. You have to get the lawyers involved because a lot of times that never went well. We may trust someone personally, but what's interesting is that sometimes we trust things when we don't have to think too hard about it. When we're looking at someone in the eye, you know, sometimes it's hard to trust them, but a lot of times when we see something online or social media, whatever it is, we tend to trust things more easily than others. One of the things that people trust nowadays, believe it or not, are pictures. I don't know what it is, but people still trust pictures. When they see something online, they tend to trust it more than they will ever question it. So I have a few that are interesting. Here's one. Here's a picture that people post that they're trying to prove that giants are real. And so this is a picture that's been going around, and they'll say, wow, look, Goliath was real. They've uncovered giant skulls. And I have to say, no, that's not real. There's a lot of these running around, and I've seen them all over, but there's an app called Photoshop. And what happens is people have an idea that, hey, we'll do something funny, and they'll manipulate an image. And if you can't trust your eyes anymore, what can you trust, you know? But this is not true. There's a lot of these out there. So I'd still believe that giants were real, but I don't think that they found anything yet. Here's one. This goes to prove that my mom, who's sitting right here, shows me that you should not stand underneath the tree when it lightnings. Okay? Because this is what happens in the brief moment that this photographer was so lucky. But actually, this is not real either. This is someone did an art project, and they're painting light on this, and so I've seen this make the ways around, you know. See, I told you, you shouldn't stand under a tree. Okay, here's another one right here. This shows that army work is hard. And that's really, really, especially during a Sharknado, this is really difficult. You know, to me, that's hard enough without the shark. But it's funny because people tend to kind of see things like this. And if you don't have to think too hard about it, a lot of times we trust it pretty quickly. I find it odd whenever we get to social media and we see these things that reinforce our beliefs. We will like them, you know. Our trust level goes up whenever we see something that reinforces what we already believe. But when we are presented with ideas that contradict what it is we believe, usually our trust level goes down. I wish there was a dislike button. Has that ever happened in your church experience? Whenever someone said something that you disagreed with, it challenged the things that you believe? Now, I guess it depends on who's talking, really, who says this. But what happens to your trust in that moment? Do you tend to immediately trust them, or do you question them immediately? If they say something you believe, a lot of times we say, yep. If they say something that is challenging, your first thought is, hang on a second. I mean, two people could be saying the same controversial thing. You know the person on the left, but you do not know the person on the right. You know the person on the left pretty well. Which one of these people are you going to trust more? Mm-hmm. And that's the question of the day, isn't it? Who do you trust? If I were to ask you to write down some names of people that you trust implicitly, think about that really quick. Just think of a few names of people you trust with everything. Could you write down a list? Could you make maybe think of one, two, three people? You know, think for a moment. You have a short list in your mind. Think about yourself. Why do you trust those particular people? Are they family? Are they friends? Maybe you have shared experiences with them. Maybe you know them well enough to know that they love you. Maybe they've proven themselves trustworthy. What I find to be true is that we tend to give those people who we know, who we have a relationship with, the benefit of the doubt. In many ways, we want to believe them because we know them. We love them. And really, trust is built or destroyed on relationship. Turning your Bibles to John chapter 14. We're going to be there in just a moment. John chapter 14. But as we remember from last week, trust is not something we typically give freely anymore. It's something we choose to do. And sometimes we choose well. We choose to trust someone, and for the most part, they honor our trust. They're trustworthy. But as we all know, even the most well-known leader is human. Even the closest of our family are human. Even the most loving spouse is human. And when the worst of our humanity shows itself, our hearts are broken. When people let us down, when they don't live up to our expectations, then we're wounded. And not only that, in those moments when we've chosen to trust and we're proven wrong, those are moments we cease to trust anymore. I mean, for me personally, in those moments, I keep my trust close to my chest. I don't choose to trust as much. When it comes to our faith in God and how much we trust Him, do these same thoughts go through our mind? When God doesn't live up to our expectations, when He doesn't do the things we think He should, does that go through our heads? Now, I know some people in this room have trust issues. I know you want to trust that God will be there for you because, you've had some bad experiences. You want to trust it. You want to. But because of some of the people you've known who claim to be Christian, some of these flawed people that you've met, choosing to trust is really hard for you. I understand that. I get it. I mean, you know what you should do. You know that you want to trust that God will give you what you need, but you really aren't sure that He's paying attention. Now, if this is you, I want to encourage you. I know it's difficult, and I know that trusting God is risky. But I also know that He wants us to trust Him. John 14, he's talking to his disciples. Now, let me give you a little background of what's just happened. He just had this odd but beautiful moment with his disciples. He's washed their feet. You know, he served them. His language is kind of dark. He's talking about some difficult things here. He's talking about how he's got to suffer. He's talking about to these guys that they got to learn to love each other. It's almost like a last will and testament speech, you know? Above all, like Polonius, above all to thyself be true, you know? But he's saying to these guys, love each other, regardless of what happens, love each other. Oh, and by the way, Peter, you're going to reject me but before the night's over. Just let you know, you're going to reject me three times. And he's definitely not acting like this Messiah they had expected him to be. They're expecting this powerful, confident man, and here he is talking doom and gloom. The atmosphere is heavy. I mean, if there's a moment that these disciples should question their trust in Jesus, it's right now. I mean, imagine this atmosphere. Faith is questioned, your trust is withdrawn, they're confused. This is where John 14 begins. We'll begin in verse 1. By the way, when you hear the word believe here, the word believe is the same idea as the word trust. It's not just a casual trust, though. This is the word that means I'm relying, I'm trusting in you. It's believing as if your life depended on it. This is what Jesus is speaking with. So when you hear the word believe, hear that. Could you in the back kind of follow along? I'm going to read. Imagine Jesus saying this for the first time. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, then we'll be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe the works. Believe because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Amen is right. Jesus is making some bold promises here. In this moment, this difficult moment when Jesus isn't quite living up to what they were expecting, when he's on the verge of letting them down by dying prematurely, he still is encouraging them to trust as if their life depended on it. He promises amazing things. He promises eternity with God. He promises a way to get to God. He promises that God is paying attention when we pray. I mean, can you imagine what these disciples are thinking? Jesus is promising eternity with God. I mean, I can imagine the conflict. You know, he's saying some rather unbelievable things and that it's doom and gloom at the same time, but would you trust him? Why would these guys trust him? And this is what I'm thinking. Why would they trust him in this conflicting moment here? They trust him because they know him. They know Jesus. They've spent time with him. They've laughed with him. They've cried with him. They've served him. He served them. They know him. And Jesus tells them, you want to know how God is trustworthy? Do you know want to know that? How you can trust him? You can trust him because you know me. He says, you want to know how you can tell if I'm trustworthy, Jesus says? He says, because you know God. You've spent time with him too. And I can just hear him saying, I know this is hard to believe, but you know me, so trust me. can't tell you how many times I've had conflict with someone, and I've had to say this, you know me. Have you ever known me to do this before? We know each other. And this is what I'm thinking. Maybe the reason we don't trust in God is because maybe we don't know him very well. Who do you trust? Have you chosen to trust God? Have you chosen to trust that he hears you? Chosen to trust that he's going to grant you justice? Chosen to trust that your enemies will get what's coming to them? Chosen to trust that in the midst of your grief, he will be with you? Chosen to trust that in the midst of both good and bad, whatever you're going through right now, that he will meet your needs? Or do you find it easier to trust in yourself? Maybe to trust in your talent to get you where you need to go. Maybe you find it easier to trust in your money and the security that it offers. Maybe you find it easier to trust in flawed and earthly kingdoms to bring hope and salvation to the world. I mean, who is it that you really trust? Because money is fleeting. Our talent is temporary. Kingdoms rise and fall. Trust in yourself will leave you all alone, but there is one who will never leave you nor forsake you. There is one who will keep his promises. There is one who goes to prepare a place for us. There is one who is worthy of our trust, and he showed us that he was trustworthy, that he meant what he said, because he died to prove it to us. And the choice really is ours. Are we going to choose to trust God today? Because it is a choice. Are we going to choose to trust God today? Instead of trusting those things that are temporary, what if we chose to put our trust in Jesus Christ? Not just with the little things, but with our life, with the way we live, with our future, our money, our health, our prayers, our salvation. Trust God with the salvation of your family, with justice, that he's going to meet your needs, with whatever major event is going on in your life at this very moment. Think of it. What is that major event? Could you trust God with that? That one thing. Start there, because it is your choice. And as he's talking to these disciples, maybe we need to spend our time getting to know Jesus better if we are having problems trusting him. Maybe our prayer today needs to be that the Spirit of God will help us to know him better and to have eyes that can see him so that we can trust that he is trustworthy. We believe in God. Why not believe in Jesus? We believe in Jesus. He and God are the same. You want to know what God looks like? He looks a lot like Jesus.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcast to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.